2 Kings chapter 5 is the text for my message tonight. One of the many philosophies that today's society holds is, I want what I want the way I want it. And these people are, today's society is a self-centered society who take no thought for other people's desires. Well, we as Christians should not be self-centered. However, should not is not the only reason for why we don't act this way, act like the world in this area of our lives. For we are commanded to, in James 4:7a, to submit to God. And my message tonight is about Naaman's learning to follow this command of submission. As a result, if we are obeying James 4:7a, then we will have God's will and not ours as our life's focus. But to do God's will, we have to do it his way. And this brings up my question for you tonight. Are you submitting to God's will in the way that he chooses to accomplish it? For it is not full submission if you are not submitting to the way that God chooses to carry out his will. And if so, if you are submitting to God's will, are you submitting with the right attitude? Are you submitting with humility? For again, it is not full submission if you don't submit with the right behavior. You know, humility and obedience go hand in hand and often accompany one another. If someone is not humble, then they're less likely to be obedient and vice versa. And Naaman had to learn and exercise these characteristics of humility and obedience. So I'd like to start tonight by reading just the first verse of our text. And you can read in your head while I read it aloud. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 says, Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the opportunity to preach, Lord, and for us teens to be able to take part in the worship service, Lord. I pray that you would work in lives as needed, Lord, tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. So the first thing I'd like you to see tonight is Naaman's problem. Naaman's problem found in the verse that we just read there. So as I have already told you, we're learning about Naaman's lesson of submission, specifically to God's will and the methods that he chooses to carry it out. We read here in this verse about his social status, his power, possessions, and position, but this had nothing to do with his problem, for we read that he had an abundance in all these categories. Now, his problem is contained in those last five words, but he was a leper. Now, a lot of what I'm going to say was already said this morning by Pastor, but I would still like to give a little bit of review on leprosy. Leprosy is a disease which eventually leads to the decaying and rotting away of your skin, and lepers, those with leprosy, in biblical times were cast out of the city to their own leper colonies because of the seriousness and the contagiousness of the disease. Therefore, Naaman really didn't have a whole lot to be happy about once he contracted his leprosy. His accumulated power, wealth, and social status were to be erased and to be useless for him now that he was a leper. Now, the Bible uses leprosy as a physical representation of sin. And God did a good job in creating it to be comparable to sin, for we know that money cannot buy us a cure from sin, material things cannot ease our debt, and our best works are in God's eyes as filthy rags. One who has sinned is cast from God's presence, and many people with sin are not redeemed from it with God's payment of salvation, Jesus Christ. And you will almost certainly come out of your sins with scars, as with leprosy, coming out with scars. But aren't you be glad that we can heal from our sin? We do not have to live defeated by our sin. And we can accept God's payment of salvation and obtain eternal life and redemption from our sin. My question for you tonight was this. Are you submitting to God's will and how he chooses to accomplish it? And if so, are you submitting with humility? But you are automatically out of God's will if you are not saved. But it does not have to stay that way. God made a way of salvation because he wanted you to be able to have fellowship with him. And it is his will that all might be saved. Amen. So if the matter of salvation is something that you struggle with, or that you would like to be saved, then just talk to Pastor, because I know he would love to take time out of his schedule to help you with that matter. So we see that Naaman had this problem of leprosy, but could not, in his own power, get rid of it. Now I'd like to move on to my second point tonight, the maid's pronouncement, found in verses 2 through 3. 2 Kings 5:2 says, And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, some armies in biblical times would disperse their captives among their kingdom in hopes of causing ethnic diversity and therefore conquering their ethnic pride, and this would lower the chance of rebellion to break out. Most were taken as slaves, prisoners, and servants. Unless this little girl here was no exception. She was taken from Israel by Syria and ended up as a maid for Naaman's wife. But although uprooted from everything, everywhere, and everyone that she knew physically, she still remained true to that one that she knew spiritually, that one being God. And it is her faith that allowed her to be an example that we're still talking about 2,500 years or so later. And this little maid, when she heard that her master had contracted leprosy, she became burdened for her master, and she shared this burden with her mistress. The testimony of this little girl has traits that we can all learn from. First, she loved those that hurt her. She demonstrated 1 John 4:7-11 beautifully. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and so on and so forth. Secondly, she exemplified perfectly what I'm driving at tonight. One who is humbly submitting to God's will and how he chooses to accomplish it can be a testimony to all, can be mightily used of God, and will receive God's blessings. So I ask you tonight, is your spiritual life any less mature than this captive young girl's is? If so, then take heed from the example that God has given you in his word and allow it to help you grow in your faith. So we read in the next few verses that word got around about what this little maid had said. And when it got to the king, he decided to send Naaman off to the land of Israel to meet Israel's king. And he sent a letter with him because of the lack of communication back then. No telephone, email, or so forth. It was customary for a letter to be presented when he met with the king that would just further explain the reason of the meeting. But when it was received by the king of Israel, he tore his clothes, we read in verse 7, because he thought that since he was unable to heal Naaman, this was simply a reason for a quarrel between the two nations. But upon Elisha's hearing the matter, he sent a message to the king telling him to send Naaman over to his house instead. So Naaman went to Elisha's abodes in hope of finally obtaining freedom from this leprosy. And his mind raced about thinking about the reception and the healing show that he thought he would get. You know, a big grand show with Elisha waving his hands over him and everything. But God's ways are not man's ways, we read in Isaiah 55:8b, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And God was going to use the method of cleansing to help teach Naaman a lesson of humility. So now that we have seen a little bit of the context of our next point, we can look at it, the curing procedure found in verses 9 through 12. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. So Naaman went to Elisha's house as he was told. Once he arrived, he started to realize that things were not going to go the way that he thought they would. And instead of being greeted by Elisha, someone else came out to meet him, a servant. He was sent to deliver the message to dip in the Jordan River 7 times and that he'd be clean, instead of Elisha personally coming out to meet him. And we read here that Naaman's heart was not towards the message or the messenger. The Bible records Naaman's feelings about being treated this way. It says here that Naaman was wroth or enraged. Naaman thought of himself very highly and thought that being greeted by a servant like a commoner would, instead of Elisha coming out to meet him, was bad enough. But then being told that he had to dip in the dirtiest river around was just outrageous. But God had a plan in all this, and by using the methods that he did, he was trying, again, to try to lower Naaman's pride a little bit. And the same is true today. God uses methods that we may think are absurd, irrelevant, or that we just really don't like to teach us characteristics that we may need to learn or develop. And again, this is for Naaman's humility. So don't scoff at God's methods or be rebellious against them and refuse to obey them, but submit to them because God knows what path he's trying to take you down, what characteristics he's trying to develop in your life, and where he's leading you in your life with this plan, whether you do or not. So we've seen the curing procedure, and my last point tonight is the servant's persuasion and Naaman's purging, found in verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith unto thee, wash and be thou clean. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now the servants realized the importance and the danger for Naaman of the situation at hand. I just stated that Naaman's heart was not towards the procedure, but it was the only way for his cleansing, and they realized that, so they decided to step in and try to talk some sense into their master. We read here that they basically said, why don't you want to obey the procedure? You were prepared to do something big and great to get healed. Why not follow this simple little procedure? The servants brought to his attention that there was only one way and that way was even simpler than the way that he thought would be required of him, and that other than the fact that it was a dirty river, there wasn't really a whole lot to pout about. And their speech worked, too, because I read that he went down to the Jordan River and was washed like he was commanded instead of giving up on his cleansing. Many people today, when they realize the situation of their sin in their lives, do not take the simple route of recovery or forgiveness from their sins, Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because they believe that it is too simple to be enough for the forgiveness of all their sins, or that they just really don't want to believe that he died, was buried, and rose again because of the change in their lifestyle that would be required of them after their salvation. But Naaman realized that you can either humbly submit to God's will and all that comes by it, or you can rebel and receive nothing at God's hand. And it is Satan's desire that we would all rebel against God, as he did. But Naaman did not want to live with his leprosy anymore, but rather deal with it, have it removed and forgotten, and continue in life unaffected by it. Now, we can all learn from the example that he put forth by humbly obeying God's will, although it did take a good bit of persuasion to get him to this point. From it, Naaman's obedience, we can see that submitting to God's will is the only way that we should act. Another thing that we can see is that this submission is the only way to obtain peace and deliverance from whatever is holding on to us. Or we can also learn that God uses the methods that he does to teach us lessons that he wants us to learn. And you apply this to yourself and find out what God wants you to take away from it. But my point tonight is that we, like Naaman, need to learn and exercise humility and submission to God. And I'll not take the time myself to show you this, but if you were to go on and read verses 15 and 17, you could further see Naaman's humility be expressed. But even Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane was concerned with doing God's will, not my will, but thine be done. And we need to have this mindset of God and his will first and me and my will last. If we are to be the public testimony that we are commanded to be and live up to our title of Christians, which means little Christs, then having this mindset is a must. However, we have to be in God's will in order to rightfully maintain this title. And being in God's will requires both of these characteristics, humility and obedience. So I ask you, have you learned how to be humble and submissive like Naaman did? Are you exercising those qualities? Are you submitting to God's will in the way that he chooses to accomplish it? And if so, are you submitting with humility? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you.